This is the Mother Jones Podcast. I'm Jamila King in Brooklyn. On today's show, the second impeachment, Donald Trump's crimes against democracy on trial. In the very Senate chambers stormed by a violent mob a little over a month ago. Day one of the trial recapped and explained the powerful and damning opening arguments.
If that's not an impeachable offense, then there is no such thing.
And the Trump team's bumbling response.
To do what is right, notwithstanding what is immediately and expedient that the media tells us is the topic of the day.
Will senators let Trump off again? Stick around. Pema Levy is a national political reporter in Mother Jones's D.C. bureau. Pema, hello.
Hi, Jamila. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's describe the opening to the trial. What was your response?
First, the Democratic House managers presented, and they did what everyone agrees is a very good job. They were really powerful emotionally. They started their presentation with a 13-minute video.
We will stop the steal.
Of the events of January 6th, interspliced with Trump's own words urging people to go to the Capitol.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol.
And then you saw, you know, the violence that ensued after he spoke those words. So that was a really powerful opening. And then you had three House managers go ahead and lay out their arguments. And I think one of the main arguments that was up for debate today was whether or not this is even constitutional. Donald Trump and his lawyers say it's not because Trump has already left office and you can't try a former president. The Democrats say, actually, yes, you can. Some very strong arguments from a Representative Jamie Raskin, who's the lead manager.
The transition of power is always the most dangerous moment for democracies. Every historian will tell you that. That's why they created a constitution with an oath written into it that binds the president from his very first day in office until his very last day in office and every day in between.
And then they ended on a really emotional note again from a Representative Jamie Raskin. Representative Raskin recently lost his son and he had his daughter and his son-in-law in the Capitol with him on the day of the riot.
And I told my daughter Tabitha, who's 24 and a brilliant algebra teacher in Teach for America, I told her how sorry I was, and I promised her that it would not be like this again the next time she came back to the Capitol with me. And you know what she said? She said, "Dad, I don't want to come back to the Capitol."
And he gets really emotional talking about, you know, the personal aspect of democracy for him, and he did a really good job. So then it's the Republicans' turn, and we're all thinking, okay, what are they going to do next? And Bruce Castor, one of Trump's lawyers, comes up and just gives the most bizarre response I could have ever conceived of. I mean, truly, it was remarkable for how meandering it was. It would make no sense. It would be hard for me to actually summarize the arguments because there hardly were any arguments there.
And we expect our United States senators not reacting to popular will and not reacting to popular emotions. We expect them to do what is right, notwithstanding what is immediately and expedient that the media tells us is the topic of the day.
Finding the arguments is sort of like finding a couple needles in a haystack of just sort of bizarre statements and rambling. And then remarkably, at the very end, after I think about 50 minutes of talking, he said, honestly, you know, I changed what I was going to say because the Democrats did so well. And I promise we have responses to them, but we're going to get to that later. So it was just an incredibly bizarre and honestly embarrassing response. And then after that, Trump's other lawyer, David Schoen, got up and he sort of launched into what I think we were all sort of expecting to come from the president's team, which is more of a forceful defense of not holding this trial, saying the trial is unconstitutional.
The House of Representatives denied every attribute of fundamental constitutional due process that Americans correctly have come to believe is part of what makes this country so great.
Saying that this is just a partisan stunt by Democrats because they don't want to run against Trump again. They're afraid of him. And so they're just trying to disqualify him from office and sort of launching into to what we all expected they were going to say from the beginning before we sort of got this 50-minute bizarre meandering speech.
I feel like we're kind of teleported right back to the Trump era with that response.
It really was. I was thinking about that. I mean, one of the markings of the Trump era was incompetency in government. And when we were watching this lawyer, just it was sort of like he was just, you know, woke up and realized he forgot to write a speech and then was just spitballing for 15 minutes. It was actually reminiscent of the administration we just left behind.
So, Pema, Republicans are probably not going to convict. So why should we care about this impeachment?
Yeah, I think that's a great question that a lot of us are asking ourselves these days, right? Is there's so much that the country needs to do right now. We have Biden still doesn't have an attorney general confirmed, for example, or a health secretary in the middle of a pandemic. We have this massive COVID relief package that needs to get passed so that people can get checks and we can get the vaccine out. And instead, we're doing an impeachment that looks futile in terms of convicting Trump. And so I think that a lot of people are wondering that. And in talking to experts and scholars, I think there are a few answers. One is, it seems like the right thing to do. When someone incites a violent attack on the Capitol and attempts to thwart the peaceful transition of power, to overturn the outcome of an election, that this is the most proper way to respond. And not doing so would really be damaging.
We've seen some of this already play out today, but how do you describe the case against Donald Trump?
Well, the article of impeachment is simple.
Today, in a bipartisan way, the House demonstrated that Donald Trump is a clear and present danger to our country.
It simply says that he incited an insurrection.
Article 1, incitement of insurrection.
And so they lay out the series of statements that Donald Trump made.
If you count the legal votes, I easily win.
Statements, I should say, and actions to attempt to overturn this election.
This is a fraud on the American public.
It includes the big lie here that Trump says he won.
Frankly, we did win this election.
And really the way in which he hammered that home so that his own supporters truly came to believe that.
I believe that Donald Trump won the election. I believe that they tried to steal the election.
And he got almost the entire Republican Party to go along with that.
This is about the integrity of our elections. And this is about taking a stand where you can take a stand.
So he really implanted this fervent belief that the election was stolen. Then the House prosecutors cite some of Trump's actions. For example, his infamous call to the Secretary of State of Georgia.
We have won this election in Georgia, and there's nothing wrong with saying that you've recalculated.
Basically threatening him, telling him he has to find more votes.
I just want to find 11,780 votes.
In order to win that state.
Because we won the state.
Their brief ahead of the impeachment talked about the New York Times reporting that he tried to go along with a plan
to oust Jeffrey A. Rosen as the acting attorney general.
Basically oust his acting attorney general and put someone else in power who would
force Georgia state lawmakers to overturn its presidential election results.
President Trump tweeted that a Stop the Steal protest will take place in Washington, D.C. next week.
Finally, his rhetoric calling his supporters to Washington
on January 6th
and then giving a speech right ahead of the riot.
Right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol.
Telling them, quote, fight like hell. And, you know, if they don't do that, then they're not going to have a country.
What are the big differences between this impeachment process and the one it feels like we just had? Trump's first impeachment was a year ago.
on some level, they feel like repeat exercises of the same thing, right? I mean, you have Democrats who strongly believe that an impeachable offense has been committed, and a Republican Party completely unwilling to even consider turning on President Trump. So in a lot of ways, it really feels like we're seeing this play out all over again. I think what really feels different, though, is the first time the crime was sort of slowly unearthed. The smoking gun was Donald Trump's call to the president of Ukraine, basically telling him that he needed to get dirt on his opponent in order to get military aid from the United States.
President Trump personally ordered the suspension of hundreds of millions of dollars in military aid to Ukraine just days before he encouraged their president to investigate his political rival, Joe Biden.
But you had to prove all of this. There are sort of like a lot of steps involved, and you have to sort of hold hearings, and you have all these witnesses coming forward and telling what happened.
He overheard a phone call between President Trump and Gordon Sondland, the ambassador to the European Union, in which the president was calling for investigations into his political rival, Joe Biden, wanting Ukraine specifically to launch the investigation.
It's just like sort of a more involved behind the scenes investigation. What we're seeing now is a trial over something that we all saw on live TV, and we all got on Twitter and we saw the journalists, you know, showing videos of what was happening in real time. And we all sort of lived this trauma. The lawmakers themselves, who had various experiences hiding from rioters, right? Fearful for their lives. And so I think for the American people, this one is just, it's just much more visceral and I think much more obvious. The harm is much more obvious. Our lawmakers could have been killed, that five people were killed, that a police officer was killed. And so I think for the American people, even if not for the process, that really feels different because this is much more relatable. And I think it really hits home in a way that the first impeachment, just the substance of it was a little bit removed.
How does having video footage of rioters impact this trial? I mean, some of this stuff was, you know, footage that we'd never seen before, specifically, you know, protesters really going after police and cursing at them. It was really, really scary and powerful stuff.
I think it is really moving. It's a powerful medium. We watch movies and we cry, right? And so I think having people, not just the senators, but the American people watching on TV, relive those events and relive the violence and the fear, relive the words of Donald Trump himself telling people to go there, and then hearing video of insurrectionists themselves saying, I'm here doing this because of Donald Trump, I think that's really powerful.
There's a fucking million of us out there.
Pema Levy, recapping today's impeachment trial. Before we go to our break, I have James West here, executive producer of the Mother Jones podcast. And James, you've got a little message for how folks can help us make the show better. What do you got?
It is a survey. You know, when you're listening to podcasts, people are like, fill this survey out. It only takes a couple of minutes. I guarantee it only takes a couple of minutes. And it's really important for us to meet you, our listeners. Tell us who you are, why you listen, maybe even some of what you like about the show. It can be really interesting to hear your voices, and it really helps us make the show.
I took the survey. You took the survey. I think we can both say that it's pretty simple. There's like a handful of questions, right?
Yeah, that's right. You load up motherjones.com/survey. It's right there. And you may even win a $100 Visa gift card.
A $100 Visa gift card.
We are giving that away for a lucky participant in the Mother Jones survey. So if you hang on right to the end, there's all of those details in there as well. And look, Jamila, you did it. I did it. It's only, what, 4 minutes? It took me 5 minutes max.
It's not that intense. So I'm going to encourage everyone to do what James did and just go take this survey. Get it at motherjones.com/survey. We want to hear more from you.
That's right. Good to see you. And motherjones.com/survey. That's the URL. Thank you so much.
Thanks, James. The Mother Jones stories you're hearing right now are brought to you by our listeners and loyal readers who fuel our work. Audience support makes up 2/3 of the Mother Jones budget and helps our team dig deep on stories that matter. Make a donation at motherjones.com/give to keep our nonprofit newsroom humming. Again, that's motherjones.com/give. Welcome back to the show. We're here with Pema Levy, recapping today's impeachment trial. Pema, you published a story on Mother Jones recently calling this the shrinking impeachment. What does that mean?
Yeah, so I think historically, presidential impeachments are really big affairs. First of all, seriously dominating the headlines probably for months. You think about big hearings in the House, you think about a long trial in the Senate, there could be witnesses, it could go on for, you know, typically they go on for weeks, if not potentially longer. And this is not the case. You know, there's sort of so much going on right now that it hasn't really dominated the headlines. It doesn't look like there are going to be witnesses called. And the trial itself could last a mere week. So I think that's a reflection of what we started out this conversation talking about, which is that the likelihood of conviction is incredibly small. And the sort of expectations around the trial are meeting that, are basically saying, okay, we're probably not going to convict, so we probably don't need to drag this out for a long period of time. But as I also wrote, I think that doesn't mean that Democrats can't be really effective in their mission of tying Trump and the Republicans to the Capitol riot and really hammering that home for the American people.
I noticed you didn't really mention Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Where is he in all this and what happened to him?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that if you had asked me this 3 weeks ago, it would be tempting to put him in the heroes column. He came out after the riot and said that he might be open to convicting Donald Trump.
The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people.
And he has since walked that back, and he has shown that he believes the trial is unconstitutional, sort of wanting to, as we discussed, you know, dodge the situation on a technicality. And I think it's really interesting, actually, to look at his calculus here. I think it's quite possible that he thought that he might have a chance to actually sort of get rid of Trump as a political force and divorce the party from Donald Trump. And from his perspective, that would be incredibly useful, right? I mean, Donald Trump basically cost him his majority leader status when he really has been blamed for losing 2 Senate seats in Georgia last month. And so when you think about Mitch McConnell, you think, well, look, we got what we wanted out of him, right? Which was tax cuts and a bunch of conservative judges. But now he's baggage and he's cost me my Senate majority. And we don't really want to be affiliated with him anymore. So I think that for a moment, McConnell considered that possibility. But I think it quickly became apparent that the Republican Party was going to rally around Trump, that most Republican lawmakers were not going to go that route. They weren't going to all hold hands and sort of jump together and taking this stance. And so as a result, he sort of just come in line with the rest of his party, which is to say, we're still going to embrace Trump. We're still going to be the party of Trump. And again, we're just going to try to say it's unconstitutional and get out of it that way.
So what do President Joe Biden or Vice President Kamala Harris have to say about the impeachment, and where do they stand on this?
Well, they've been, I think, pretty quiet about it, which is appropriate. But Joe Biden has said that he wants this trial to move forward. You know, you might think that because he has so many other things he wants Congress to do, confirming his nominees, getting this COVID aid package up and running, that he might just sort of want to forget about this and move on. But I think he really believes that this is what the country needs, that this is what the process calls for, and that the impeachment process is serious, and that when someone is impeached, there should be a trial to follow through and to make sure that that process is honored. And so that's what he said. And he's willing to, I think, give up a little bit of momentum on his priorities to see that this trial is done fairly and completed as it should be.
Pema, you mentioned the Republican Party is trying to wiggle their way out of this. What kind of tensions are there right now? What does this say about the future of the party itself?
Yeah, I think that the tension here is really interesting because the party is really rallying around Donald Trump. And so they really are continuing to be the party of Donald Trump. But they clearly don't want to be a party of a violent insurrection that killed five people, including a Capitol police officer. So there's a serious tension there of how do you thread that needle, right? How do you defend Trump and also his actions, but also say that he didn't cause this riot and also distance yourself from this riot? I mean, that's a tricky thing. And what we've seen is that they're trying to use basically constitutional technicalities and argue that the impeachment itself and the whole trial in the Senate is unconstitutional because Trump has already left office. So rather than really trying to defend Trump or his big lie, being that he won this election when he clearly lost it, they're trying to say, look, this whole thing is unconstitutional. We can't go forward with this. But I will say, when you read all of the experts who are weighing in on this, that is clearly not the majority view.
Pema Levy is a national political reporter in Mother Jones's DC bureau. Pema, always great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
For impeachment updates, be sure to check out our live impeachment blog on motherjones.com. That's it for this week's show. I'm your host, Jamila King. The Mother Jones podcast is brought to you by our small but mighty and very nimble podcast team, which is me, James West, Molly Schwartz, and Mark Kalinowski. Theme music is by Micah Barrick at Hear Film. Go ahead to motherjones.com/survey. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and I'll see you next week. This podcast is brought to you by Mother Jones listeners like you who donate to keep our newsroom buzzing. Help us stay on the beat. Go to motherjones.com/give. From PR.